You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want to welcome all of our campuses, Siena and Cypress and downtown in the Loop, as we all get together. We've been talking about this series of hashtag life. We've been looking at ourselves, if you will, of the chapters of life that we've been in, that we're journeying to, or we're journeying from, or that we're just smack dab in the middle of. And in those chapters of life, we have been looking and saying, God, what are you doing in these places? And now we're going to kind of get our eyes off ourselves, and we're in a series, just a two-part series called Vertical, to be able to look up, to be able to see the great things that God has done and who He is. It's a series on worship, that we would worship God because we would see how great He is. We'd look up in a vertical look to be able to see how wonderful He is and how amazing He is. So I've got this telescope here. We're going to look at a lot of space here together. This telescope is one that I bought at a Houston Christian auction, and it was going for sale, and I just thought it was cool. It doesn't work, but it's from the 1800s, and it looks cool. Because I don't need a telescope in my office that works. I just need one that looks cool. So this is in my office as a cool-looking telescope. And I don't need to look at it right now and see what the top of the roof looks like here at the church. I just need a cool-looking illustration at this moment. So we've got a cool 1800s brass telescope here to be able to look at and to say, wow, there's so much above us. Do you know how much of the heavens? It just declares the glory of God. How amazing it is of how great He is. I love looking through real telescopes. Not that this isn't a real one, but ones that actually work. So much that for my birthday one year, I believe it was, maybe it was a Father's Day, they're both in the summer, but I got a telescope. Kelly and the kids gave me a telescope. So we went out to a place that didn't have a bunch of light pollution like Houston does, and we started looking through the telescope. And I want to show you a couple pictures that I took through the telescope that we own with my phone. So this is basically a phone and a telescope together. My little astronomy, there's a picture of the moon. Isn't that incredible? I mean, this isn't out of like some telescope from NASA. This is just something we bought, you know, off the internet or wherever we got it. I don't know where we got it. But to be able to take it with my phone, put up to the little eyepiece there. Now let me show you the next one. This is a picture of Saturn. That's Saturn. And when I was looking at it, I could actually see the rings that were there. It couldn't come out once you get to an iPhone and a telescope trying to make it all happen. But trust me, that's Saturn with its rings. Isn't that incredible to think about? Then this next one I thought was really cool. We've got now Jupiter with four moons around it. Wow, incredible. I couldn't believe it. I was calling the kids. I said, you got to see this. We are looking with the naked eye and a telescope to be able to see Jupiter with four moons around. I'm looking at it with my own eye, not a picture in a book. I'm seeing Saturn's rings. I'm seeing the moon. And in that moment, I just was struck with worship. I didn't sit back and go, man, I am awesome. I sat back and went, wow, God, you're incredible. And you would be right there if I was on Jupiter right now. If I was on one of those moons, I could pray to you and be right there. But I'm on planet Earth, and you know every hair on my head. You know everything about me. You know everything going on in my life. And God, you've got it under control. You're the God of the moon. You're the God of Saturn. You're the God of Jupiter and the moons of Jupiter. Even beyond, further it further goes. So I want you to look in Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. We're going to look at Psalm 8 today, and then look next week at Psalm 9, just the first couple verses of it. And as we look at that, we're going to be able to have a really amazing time. So I want you to look at Psalm 8, and it's found in the Old Testament. Just if you open to the middle of your Bible, you'll be able to find it in there. Psalm 8, and we're going to look at a familiar verse. Many of you are going to know this verse, but let's look at it. Let's just look at Psalm 8, verse 1, and we'll make it through the whole psalm, but let's look here. Here we go. O Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. O Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Just in my little telescope pictures, can't you just feel in your heart? He's covered the heavens with his majesty, that there's a vertical look we need to have. We spend so much time looking like this, but to look vertical takes effort. To look vertical takes effort to be able to see the greatness. You got to do your neck a little bit different. It's just not the norm. And that's an illustration that even spiritually in our lives, we've got to kind of take the effort and go, wow, there's something more. Because if not, we'll get caught just doing this, won't we? That'll be the norm for us. But Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. I just want to call you to just look up. How majestic is his name in all the earth? What does a name mean? A name is a statement of character. It's a statement of identity. Now, you got a couple names. I got a couple names. Maybe you got a really long name, and you've got two or three names in your name. You got a couple middle names in there. But most of us, we don't have but just a few names. But God has got so many names. Let me just give you some of the names of who he is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Every one of these, I could give you a Hebrew word to it in the Old Testament. I could give you a biblical reference. But for the sake of time, I just want to list them off to you. God Most High, Eternal God, God Almighty, the Lord of all the earth, Creator, Glorious Sword, my God, our God, Mighty in battle, Redeemer, the King, the Judge, the Lord who saves. Strong and mighty, the Lord will provide, my glory, the horn of my salvation, my refuge, the shield, the Lord who can strike you, my fortress, the Lord who makes you holy, King forever, Deliverer, your Savior, my banner, my light, my shepherd, the Lord who heals you, the Lord of hosts, my rock, my righteousness, my strength. That's just Old Testament. If we were to get just the names of Jesus and titles of Jesus in the New Testament, Almighty One, Alpha and Omega, Advocate, Author and Perfecter of our faith, Authority, Bread of Life, Beloved Son of God, the Bridegroom, the Chief Cornerstone, the Deliverer, Faithful and True, Good Shepherd, Great High Priest, Head of the Church, Holy Servant, I Am, Emmanuel, Indescribable Gift, Judge, King of Kings, Lamb of God, Light of the World, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Lord of All, Mediator, Messiah, Mighty One, the One who sets us free, our Hope, our Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, Risen Lord, our Rock, our Sacrifice for Sins, our Savior, Son of Man, Son of Most High, Supreme Creator over all, Resurrection in the Life, the Door, the Way, the Word, the Vine, the Truth, the Victorious One, a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. How about that? That's better than a partridge in a pear tree, folks. That's a lot of names, and that's a lot of power, and that's a lot of strength. That is a declaration of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when we get to this verse in chapter 8, verse 1, and it says, O Lord, how magnificent is your name. You begin to look up, don't you? Wow! Incredible! Bigger and bolder and stronger than anything in Siena or in Cyprus or in downtown or at the Loop, anything more than your name or my name, anything, it's higher than any political party's name, it's higher than any business's name, it's higher than any economic name, any nation's name, any kingdom's name from the past, any king, because it's the King of Kings and it's the Lord of Lords. And so we start this psalm and we say, how majestic is your name, magnificent is your name in all the earth. And that's all the names of God. And if that wasn't enough, in the heavens declare your glory. On Saturn, you're still the Redeemer. On Jupiter, you're still the Wonderful Counselor. He is magnificent in all that he is. Let me show you three things that point to his power. Three things that point to his power. It's found in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4 is the first one that we're going to take here. Psalm 8, verse 2, and then we'll get to verse 3 and 4 in just a second. Here's what it says in verse 2. From the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have established a stronghold on the account of your adversaries. Why? In order to silence the enemy and the avenger. To silence the enemy and the avenger. Here it is. First point is this. Put it in your listening guide. Godly weakness wins. Godly weakness wins. Babies can silence bullies. Do you see that in verse 2? Out of the mouths of infants and babies, out of the mouths of children and infants, some versions would say, you have silenced, you have ordained praise, you have ordained strength, you have silenced the enemy and the avenger. It means that weakness, godly weakness wins. Babies can silence bullies. I'm not talking about dysfunctional weakness where you just don't want to have a hard conversation. I'm not talking about personality weakness. It's you're just a sweeter person than you are a stronger person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about sinful weakness. It's something in your life of sin has pulled you down where you're not able to be strong and not able to be bold in that area. I'm talking about godly weakness. What is godly weakness? Godly weakness is called humility and surrender. And so what he's saying here is that weakness wins. God can use a baby and an infant to silence a bully. Isn't that incredible? That's what he did at Christmas, isn't it? Who came to the manger scene but the wise men and kings and bowed down before a baby, an infant, a child, a toddler, to be able to say, I'm going to bow my knee before this one. He's a baby. He's frail. Pharaoh could kill all the male children that he wanted, but the Savior of the world was going to come through a virgin named Mary. How incredible, how strong, how mighty a baby can usher strength against a bully. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 through 31. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 25 through 31. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many of you were wise from a human perspective. Not many of you powerful. Not many of you of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one may boast in his presence. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us, our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. In order that it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Do you see that? The foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. What's he saying? He's saying with God, there's a majority. With God, there's strength. With God, the Father, there's nobody that can stop him. So I don't have to worry. God doesn't have to say, I'm worried because it's just a baby. I can send a baby into the manger to become the king of the world and to die on the cross for you. What an amazing thought, the power of God. And so what do we have in our lives? We've got to be weak in the Lord, to say, Lord, I want to take my weakness and my humility and I want to give it to you and say, Lord, I can't do this. Only you can do this. You're the only one that can do this. It says, who of you were wise when you were called to the Lord? I look at my own life, at the things that I've been able to do. How in the world did I get to do these things? The Lord does things through you. You just get on your face. You say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not able. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I need your leadership, God. Just recently, I was standing in the White House with a group of pastors praying over the president. And I stood there and thought, how in the world did a kid from A-Leaf end up in this room right here? Not many of you were wise when you were called. Only God the Father can do what he wants to do in your life. And I'm telling you, let's stay weak. In a world that celebrates strength, let's stay weak in the Lord. And say, God, we want to be weak in your presence. And we believe that godly weakness wins. And so we trust in you. Doesn't mean we don't make a decision. Doesn't mean we don't have strong leadership. Doesn't mean that we don't say, we're going to do this, this, and this. It means that we say, Lord, it's got to be you. You got to be the one that does this. And I trust you with that, God. You do what you want to do in that way. So in downtown, be weak. In Siena, be weak. In Cyprus, be weak. And allow God to do something in your life because babies can silence bullies. Look at what it says in verses 3 and 4 as we get to the next couple points here. It says, when I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers. Notice the heavens, what I just showed you, Saturn, Jupiter, and the moon. It's the work of his fingers. The moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is a human being that you remember him? A son of man that you look after him. The heavens, put it in your listening guide, the heavens declare his power. The heavens declare his power. You know what blows me away by this? He says this is the work of his fingers. The heavens, it takes us a rocket to get to, and we can't even get to much of them. It's the work of his fingers. It's finger puppets. It didn't even take his arms to do Jupiter. It didn't even take his thighs to do Jupiter. It was his fingers. You see the power of the Creator? The power of the Creator, of who he is. His heavens declare his power. So what does that do? That gives us a heart to be able to vertical look and to worship him. See, we've so put a box that what's worship? Worship is the three or four songs before the message. No, worship is seeing the grandness and greatness of God, realizing that babies silence bullies, that the heavens are just his finger work. So now when we begin to sing the words of worship songs, we go, wow! And we sing with a head that's up, not looking around at everything that's going on, but Lord, we want to look up at you and we want to really worship you. The overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. And so now my words of song, my words of praise, my words of thanksgiving, they come out to you, God, and I declare to you, Lord, I worship you. It's just the fingers that made this stuff. I showed you my little telescope pictures with my iPhone through the telescope lens. I've showed you a telescope that doesn't even work that sits in my office because it looks cool. There's something, though, that does work. It was named Voyager 1. It launched September 5th, 1977. It's been up in space for 42 years and 2 months right now. Go to the NASA website and you'll find all sorts of incredible facts about it. Its distance from Earth right now is 13 billion miles away. The velocity with respect to the sun, it's estimated to be at about 38,000 miles or miles per hour. One-way light time to get light back from this Voyager satellite back to Earth, at the speed of light, it takes 20 hours and 30 minutes. That's how far away it is. So this Voyager 1 launched in 1977. We think about all the technology that advances have happened there. This is 1977. That's when this thing launched. Can I show you a picture? You saw Saturn from mine. Let's see Saturn from Voyager. That picture was taken in 1980. You saw Jupiter on my telescope. Let's look at Jupiter from Voyager. Spectacular. How huge is God? Now let's look at a picture of Earth taken from Voyager. You ready? Here it is. Hello. They call it the pale blue dot. That's where you are. All your problems, all your worries, all your concerns, all your I'm not sure if there's a God, all your no, I got the decision made, Lord. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're the dot upon the dot upon the dot upon the dot upon the dot, right? And that picture there, and here we have that we can declare, the heavens declare his power. It says in verse 3, when I observe the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you set in place. Verse 4, what is human being? What is a human being that you remember him? And that Hebrew word of remember, it means his remembrance implies a movement toward. That's what it implies. I remember you. I'm moving towards you is what he's saying. What is man that you remember him and the son of man that you look after him? Amazing. Now look at verse 5. You made him a little less than God and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet and all the sheep and the oxen, as well as the animals in the wild and the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the seas. Here's what's happened. It says that all of this heavenly, spectacular things that he's done, I could show you off NASA's website and other places. I could have shown you picture after picture after picture of things that have happened through telescopes that are far greater than this telescope ever was or mine ever could be. It would just show you things over and over and over. It just declared. It would just make you vertical in your look. And you go, wow, I worship you. The heavens declare your glory. But then he says, but I'm mindful of you. I know you. I call you friend. I walk with you. And God's not only huge, he's personal. Isn't that incredible to think about? That he's powerful and personal. I love that. Powerful and personal. So I can go to him on that little dot upon a dot upon a dot upon a dot to finally get down into the Bridgeland, to get down into to Siena Plantation, to get down into the memorial area, the Loop and the Galleria area, to get down in the center of downtown, to wherever you're listening on the radio right now, wherever you're watching on the internet. God can get to the dot of the dot of the dot of the dot of the dot, and you can pray to him and say, Lord, would you heal my liver, my kidney, from this cancer that's gotten into the cells of my life. Wow. And he's powerful enough to do it. He not only loves you, he loves every cell in your body. And he's more concerned about you than he is about Jupiter's moons. That's just symbolic of how grand he is. And it says in this next part of this, verse 5 beginning, it says, you have made him a little less than God. A little less than God. Or some versions say of the angels or the heavenly beings. And you've crowned him with glory and honor. Here's the third thing out of 3 points of his power. Number one was godly weakness wins. Number two was the heavens declare his power. And number three is you've been made in his image. You've been made in the image of God. Do you know that the fingerprint of God has been placed upon your life? Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's read that verse of scripture together. Genesis 1, verse 26. Here's what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image. You already see the Trinity right there with us. Let us make man in God's image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, same thing that just happened in Psalm 8, the birds of the sky, the livestock in the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. Third time we've heard it in this little passage. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. That's Psalm 8 right there, isn't it? Psalm 8 is just mimicking Genesis 1. You have been made in the image of God. Now here's what I want you to hear, okay? This is very important. Very important. So listen, at every campus, you ready? Every age group, every campus, listen. Here's the big question in your life. Here's the question. I put it in your listening guide even. Here's the question. Have we been made a little higher than earth or a little lower than heaven? Said another way. Have we been made a little higher than animals or a little lower than the angels? Let me say it in another way. Did we evolve by chance or were we created by love? One more way. Do we have the mark and the fingerprint of eternity in us or are we temporary and gone once we die and we just turn into worm food in the grave? Which is it? I submit to you that we were made a little bit lower than the angels, not a little bit higher than the animals. But what has been put forth to us, and students, listen up over and over. What has been put forth to us is you've been made a little bit higher than the animals. You're just a bigger and badder and smarter monkey. That's all you are. You're just a little bit higher than the monkeys. You're a little bit higher than the tadpole. You're a little bit higher than the frog. Your cousin is the crane. Your sister is the sow. Your brother is the beaver or the bear, right? Have you been made a little bit higher than the animals and you just got here through survival of the fittest? Because there's something weird going on in our hearts and our society. We want everybody to respect the lowly ones, but what we want is to then say, though, but the way that we got to where we are is by crushing the lowly ones. That's what survival of the fittest means. There's no giving to those that are weaker. There's the crushing of those who are weaker. So how did we get to the top of the food chain and all of a sudden end up with morals? How did we get here? Because we haven't risen to the top of the food chain. I want you to hear, and students, I want you to hear me loud and clear. You weren't created a little higher than the animals. You have eternity in your heart, the fingerprint of God in your life. You were created by God. So let your heart go to that. Yes, at all campuses. Let's clap for that. You have been made and I have been made in the image of God. Does that mean that we're perfect? No. Does it mean we'll get everything right? No. But does it mean that God has a purpose for us? Yes. Does it mean you shouldn't commit suicide? Yes, it does mean that. Does it mean that you shouldn't be in a place that you just throw all sorts of trash on yourself and just self-deprecate all the time of how bad you are? No, you've been created in the image of God, and I'm pleading with you to see you've been made a little lower than the angels, not a little higher than the animals. Because God has created you, the one that created Saturn, the one that created Jupiter, the one that creates the moons that surround the planets, the one that knows everything about everything. He has created you. You didn't evolve by chance. You were created by love. You are not temporary. There's something in you, even if you're an agnostic or an atheist, there's something in you that says, there's more to me. There's an eternal aspect to me. Even the headhunter doesn't want his head hunted. Because we realize there's something precious about a human being that's different. You drive on the roadways, you see an animal that's been hit by a car, you keep driving. You drive on the roadways and you see a human that's been hit by a car and you don't stop, we legally pursue you and punish you by the law. Why? Because we know there's something different about a human being. We slam on the brakes and we pull over to try to help in that very moment because we know that there's something different about our daughter and our dog. There's something different. And it's the image of God that's been placed with the fingerprint of God. And so I want you to hear that. Now, what does that do? Vertical look. Wow, what is man that you're mindful of him? I can't believe it. I get to be a part of your kingdom. I'm more important than Jupiter. I'm more important than space. You gave your son for me. Psalm 8, verse 9. So what's our response? Our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Oh, Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Nowhere, one commentator says, is man's dignity asserted more clearly and boldly than in this passage. This is a reference to man before the fall. We understand sin taints our lives. But to be able to say, God, my dignity belongs to you. My depression belongs to you. My joy belongs to you. And I just want to sandwich this psalm is what the psalmist is saying. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then it ends with saying the same thing. Oh, Lord, how magnificent or majestic is your name throughout all the earth. Godly weakness wins. Babies can silence bullies. The heavens declare his glory. I showed the pictures that blew you away. Audible gasp when I showed you the pictures. Number three, we are made in his image. We have been made higher than lower than the angels, not just a little higher than the animals. And our response is to live a vertical life. Let me wrap it by saying this. What happened in Matthew chapter 2? The wise men looked up to see a star in the heavens, and they looked at that star, and by looking to that star, it guided them to the manger of Jesus. What happened in Luke chapter 2? The shepherds had an angelic heavenly host, glory to God in what? The highest. And they looked up at this angelic music happening and they then said, oh my goodness, we got to head to Bethlehem. This thing just got really real. And I want to encourage you right now in this time, two words. Look up. Look up. If you don't know that you know Christ is your Savior, here's what I say to you. Look up. Look up to the cross. It was on a hill even. And then he hung on a cross so that we would look up to the cross. Look up and trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to live inside your heart. And the God of all power will become a personal Savior. And if you know Christ as Savior and you're not walking with him, look up. There's more to life than just your stuff and things. Look up and let God do something. If you're looking for a church, we're a church that wants to look up, see God. I don't want you to see your pastor. I don't want you to see your staff. I don't want you to see all our campus. I want you to see Jesus. That's why we're doing all that we do. So in Cyprus, look up. In Siena, look up. Downtown, look up. The Loop, look up. And when we get a vertical view of God, changes everything. So your homework, read Psalm 8 again in the next 24 hours and let God do his work in your life. And you'll begin to look through a telescope called the Bible to see this grand thing named Jesus. And it'll be better than any iPhone picture you could have ever imagined. Be better than any Voyager 1. It'll be you looking up and worshiping God. Here's what we're going to do. We've trained you to think that the end of the message is the end of the service. I want to break that in you today, okay? Every campus, we have ramped in with the message to this next time of worship through song. Where we're going to respond by coming forward to trust in Jesus as your Savior if you've never done that before. you're a believer in Christ and you need prayer, you come, or to join the church or to help with any decision, you come. But we're going to look up and we're going to worship God, not because worship is music, but because this is going to give us words to declare who he is and how great he is. So you let Psalm 8 roll in to what's happening right now in this moment. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We love you and we thank you. We ask God that you would do what only you can do. We trust you. We thank you. We love you. May we look up and worship in Cyprus, in downtown, in Siena, the Loop, even on the radio and on the internet. We want to worship you. So may we crane our necks to see one who is powerful yet personal. And may the image you've put in us of our eternal nature connect with you as an eternal God. And may we come to Christ if we don't know you. Just this time, before we worship, would you just pray, all campuses, all places, and just say, Lord, let me look up in these next moments and worship you.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at the Loop, Cyprus, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.